I left the left in 2021, and I don't mean that I was just a liberal. It started out that way, but I became a very extreme leftist for a while. For those of you wondering how people can become so mentally depraved and evil that they would mock the death of a father and a husband, I might be able to shed some light on that. And it was 100% the media. I was raised in a conservative Christian home. My parents are still married. I was homeschooled. I had a good childhood, and it still got to me because of the media, because of the people I was around and my friends sharing media, because of the media I was seeing on TikTok, on Instagram, Twitter. I mean, just everywhere. It was pelted into my brain that these people were Nazis and fascists. When I tell you that I had a genuine fear for my life, and the only way that I thought I could stop it was violence. Now, I personally was never violent, but I would like and repost TikToks of people calling for violence, because they have convinced an entire generation that that is the only way to stop the Nazi fascists.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, family in Christ, thank you for tuning in, watching, listening, sharing, and praying for us. If you are a parent or a grandparent, you probably know someone that you can share this episode with. Very important to understand. You just heard from Evelyn Reeves, and very important to understand how someone that grew up in a Christian or conservative home can flip and be influenced to go down the opposite worldview from the biblical worldview, and actually understand that someone today can justify murder for a certain cause. And we're really in a new territory today. We're learning a lot since the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and what some people believe, the ends justify the means, right? Well, I want to bring in our guest today, Evelyn Reeves. She's a Christian, wife, mother of two, grassroots activist, former leftist, and human rights advocate. She's also the vice president of Pro-Life Advocacy Network. We're going to talk a lot about that. She defends the rights of the unborn, of unborn children, through educational videos, live stream debates that are aimed at spreading social awareness regarding truths around fetal development and abortion, while encouraging pro-life legislation. Yay! Evelyn Reeves is an independent voting member, and can't wait to hear her story. Very important and very provocative. Evelyn, thanks for your time today. Welcome. Good to see you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
Okay, so I talked to you before we got on the podcast here. I think I must have been following you on somewhere, maybe Instagram, and I came across that video, and I've been writing about the mainstream media, the leftist media, the Marxist media. Activism. It's activism, no longer journalism. And you said something that really is important, because a lot of parents, Christian parents, probably don't understand how there are so many influences out there that can turn the heart or the worldview of their son or daughter. And you have that story, but thank God you came to Christ, or back to Christ. So let's start with when you were young growing up. Did you go to church? Were your parents very committed to church? What kind of church, and how did that impact you? And then tell us about the turn.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a very large conservative Christian family. I have 9 siblings. 5 are adopted and 5 are biological.
Wow.
We were amazing at going to church. I was involved in youth groups. We prayed every single night. We went through spiritual warfare together, and it brought us really close to each other. So growing up, I was very, very Christian. I wanted to be a missionary. I was what people would describe as a Jesus freak. You know, I was on fire for the Lord. I was raised in a great conservative Christian family. When I turned maybe 13 or 14 is when things kind of started going downhill for me. I was exposed to more, I won't say leftist, I think it was more liberal, progressive Christianity at first, from some youth groups and some homeschool co-ops that my family would bring me to, thinking they were safe, thinking that there was nothing wrong with them. And just by, you know, the influence of my friends and the social media that they were looking at, and the media in general, even just mainstream media news, hearing things through the grapevine, through my friends. And when you're that age, you want to fit in, and you want to be looked at as a good person, a good friend, a nice and kind person.
And there's also something about rebelling against the authority. I think all young children, you know, teenagers specifically, really want to do that. So it kind of just sparked this idea that I needed to be loving and open of all viewpoints and everything. And that made me start looking into liberal and leftist ideologies more. And through social media, I started, you know, the algorithm started only feeding me that type of information, whether it was clips of Donald Trump saying things that were clipped out of context that didn't actually, you know, they weren't actually what he said, or it was Reddit posts or Twitter posts or TikTok videos of people making arguments with nothing to back it up, but you believe it because they say it with conviction, because it has millions of likes, because all other media is being suppressed. It eventually just ingrains itself in your mind so much that, you know, you can be raised with great values and that can take over eventually.
So I think I heard you either talk about or refer to progressive Christianity or what I might call liberal Christianity, which is an oxymoron. But yes. Unfortunately, a lot of churches have gone woke, they've gone left. And I've heard this term, toxic empathy. There are Christians who mean well, and they want to empathize with everybody. Like you said, you wanted to love everybody, and you want to be open, right? When you open yourself up and be loving, you end up, if you're a church, you'll end up with a rainbow flag hanging outside your door. Everybody's welcome, right? But where does the conviction come? How can you then preach sin and repentance? And, you know, we can go down that road. So tell us about, you said a youth group. So you're at a church, a committed church, solid Christian family, very conservative, and a lot of church activity, prayer, spiritual warfare. And yet, was there an influence in your youth group or your youth pastor that was progressive? Tell us about that angle.
Yeah, it wasn't the church itself. The church was actually maybe even more conservative than my family was. It was a church that was kind of farther away from me, and I only went there because I had met someone at a homeschool co-op, and they wanted to bring me to their youth group. Oh. And so it wasn't the leaders of the youth group, but that's kind of almost what contributed to it, to, you know, this small group of us kids that were in the youth group wanting to, like I said before, rebel almost against the authority of the church and the authority of these conservative Christians that we viewed as kind of bad guys wanting to control us. So there's a small group of kids that just are, you know, talking about progressive ideologies, talking about how mean other people are and the authorities are. And from there, I was invited to a youth retreat where I was, you know, a bunch of kids, teenagers, locked in a church for 3 days, 4 days, I don't know how many days. And, you know, it's very Christian and it has a good message. But when you get that many children together and arguably not enough adults to, you know, watch over them, there was, I mean, leftist ideology running rampant in that place. And it was hidden. But that's, again, the kind of draw to it was almost like this secret group and club of us rebelling against them. So there is a threat of progressive Christianity. But personally, I was never influenced by like authorities in a church, like a progressive church at all. It was always the subsets of little kids and teenagers in those churches that kind of wanted to rebel, and we would get together and, you know, be progressive Christians together, I guess.
Okay, so let's go back to what you shared in that very, to me, very important Instagram post. And I just want to read a couple of the comments, friends. And these are from, it looks like, I see the picture of one person out there. It looks like someone who's older, but it's hard to tell. But she said, I love that you had the courage to post this. Thank you for this. We truly do not hate the media enough. And another person said, geez, this is my life right now with my daughter. If someone is reading this, please pray for me and her. I have to remember this is a spiritual battle. She cannot hear me, so there's no use talking anymore, and it breaks my heart. So, Evelyn, you're reaching people, and that's why I wanted to have you on. You're reaching young people that a lot of us it couldn't reach, or they wouldn't listen to us. So you can say, hey, you know, I fell for some of this, and it will lead you down a very dangerous path to the point of what we're seeing in the streets today and what we saw after the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Some, and I'm glad, you know, it's interesting. I'm glad we saw it. The people, idiots posting their true feelings, but I'm glad we know exactly where they stand. Spiritually, we are not the same. We talk about this all the time. Different spirit. There's a Holy Spirit and there are unholy spirits. We might call them demons. So we have to understand the spiritual warfare behind this time, this cultural moment that we're in. Would you please speak a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, I have gotten so many messages from parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and even concerned siblings saying my, you know, son, daughter, whatever is trans and going through this issue or has cut me off completely for who I voted for or was one of the people who was celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassination. And I actually started a prayer list for all of these people. I asked for their name and I just wrote as many as I could down. I think I have 20 plus names on the list. Of people that need prayer, because that is the one thing that pulled me out. I could not be reached by my family anymore, especially in 2019 and 2020 when I was at my most extreme. I could not be reached by logic and reasoning at that point. I am 100% convinced that the only thing that was able to pull me out was obviously Christ, but it was through the prayer. My mother never stopped praying for me. She told me when I came back to Christ that it was every single night she was praying fervently for me. My dad was the same. Even my best friend in the whole world, she is such a gem. She stayed with me through all of this, and she's always been Christian and conservative, so she watched my journey, you know, going super before I left and coming back. And she said the same, that she never stopped praying. So I would say the biggest thing that we can do is pray. You know, we battle not against flesh and blood, but spirits. And it's so true. And I'm a perfect representation of that.
Yeah. We have to remember that, friends. Don't look at outward appearances. Just pray for that person because God can reach them. It's never too late until we die. And then it's over, one destination or the other. But well, if someone's still alive, no matter how hardened, no matter how radical, no matter how violent or demonic that they appear to be, they're never too far from God that he can't reach them. So good reminder, Evelyn Reeves. Before we run out of time, I do want to get to Pro-Life Advocacy Network in a minute. But your perspective, I've been studying the media and following the downward spiral for many, many decades. And I'm so glad today that the record high number of people distrust the media today. I'm so glad. But they still have a big following and a loyal audience of leftists, Democrats, Marxists, people that are progressive that will only hear that. It's like an echo chamber. So they've come out, a lot of the media, the talking heads, and even prominent Democrats have been challenged after the assassination of Charlie Kirk to tone down the rhetoric, the accusations of fascism, or Trump is a threat to democracy, he's going to destroy the country, and a lot of violent rhetoric, or, you know, these signs that they're signaling their followers. And some people, it only takes a handful of people to act on something, do something stupid. They will not take responsibility, the ones that are spouting this off. So what do you say about that? What can we do, or what can young people do if that's all they're hearing from the sources that they are tuned into?
Yeah, well, from a Christian and a conservative perspective, like I said, prayer is huge, a thing that you can do just to try and reach these people. But just for young people in general who are seeing people that they may look up to in government, whether Democrat or Republican, you have to be able to understand why they're saying what they're saying. I don't know for sure if they actually think Donald Trump is a fascist or a Nazi or whatever they say. I don't know if they actually believe that about Charlie Kirk. I think that they're saying it to rile you up and to make you hate the other side, to bring in voters. If they can paint all conservatives and all Christians as horrible, nasty people, then not only are they going to be violent towards us, but also who would want to vote for a Nazi or a fascist? So just keep in mind what kind of media you are consuming. One thing that I do now is I make sure that I have some liberal and left-leaning media sources that I watch, or even just, you know, streamers or influencers who say different things than I think, so that I can keep myself in check. And usually I'll say that I do find out that they're wrong in what they're saying, but at least I have their message in my life so I can know if I'm going too far one way or another. So I think it's a good reminder for everyone to really, really be aware of the media that you're consuming, because it's so easy to be in that echo chamber.
Yeah. And you know, they don't even understand what fascism is. I really believe that, because they accuse Charlie Kirk of being a fascist. A fascist does not lovingly and respectfully debate ideas and then hand you the microphone. Exactly. No, a fascist will silence you, censor you, shut you up, and take you away in handcuffs. You know, that's what fascism does. Anyway, Evelyn, let's get over to prolifeadvocacynetwork.org. How did you get for, wait a minute, we skipped a very important step. Was there something, someone, you said friends were praying for you. Is that, was that the answer? What brought you back to Jesus? Was it friends, your mom? Did you already answer that?
Yeah, it was definitely that. I mean, if we want to talk about what I experienced in my personal life, that, you know, obviously it was God's influence, but what I experienced personally was definitely becoming pregnant with my first son. I found out I was pregnant in March of 2021, and that kind of forced me, you know, I was still very pro-choice at the time, very leftist at the time.
Wow.
I wasn't married. I wasn't, didn't have a stable job. My boyfriend didn't have a stable job at the time, and it was a scary time. So I crawled back to my mom. I tried to, you know, make that relationship better because I had personally broken it. You know, my poor mother, she dealt with some crazy things from me. And so going back to her and having her lovingly and gently prod at me and ask me questions about what I believed, because I was kind of a new age spiritualist too, you know, what I believed in. And I could never answer her. And she would show me full clips of what Donald Trump had said, and it would, you know, debunk what I thought he said. Just little things like that, forcing me to, you know, rethink what I believed. And then seeing my son in an ultrasound at 11 weeks, he was a tiny little human in there flipping around. And I heard his heartbeat. And there was just, you know, that voice in my head came back finally that I had pushed away for so many years. Like, he's alive. He's your son. He's a human. And from there, I just, you know, if human life has value, then God has to be real. And, you know, over the next year, I slowly came back to conservative beliefs and to, you know, for the most part, I came back to Christianity.
So let's talk about repentance. How were you before God when you recognized some of these things? For example, there in a mother's womb, there is a pre-born human being. It's not a dead thing. It's not a tissue. It is a human life worthy of value and protection. So how did you have to go to, because you were, I'm sure, promoting the pro-choice, you know, Planned Parenthood and all the talking points, but then you came back to the truth. What was that like between you and God?
It was rough. There were, you know, a few months, maybe even a year where I didn't even feel worthy of praying or talking about God because I knew that I had, I mean, just being pro-choice in what I had said wasn't even the worst of it. I straight up blasphemed in so many different ways. I treated my body horribly. I treated my family horribly, my friends horribly. So there was so much repentance outwardly to people in my life that I had to do. I apologized to, so I don't even know how many people, over and over and over. And my relationship with God definitely struggled because I didn't feel worthy of coming to him because I had messed up so bad. It took a long time. I still struggle with that sometimes, but I just have to remember, you know, Christ loved me so much that he sent his son to die for me to wipe away my sins. I am repentant when I do bad things and I'm covered in his blood and saved by him. And that's all that I can keep remembering and reminding myself when I, you know, we, none of us are worthy, but Christ's sacrifice saves us. So, you know, that's probably my message for people who might feel the same way as well about repentance. It could be very hard, especially if you've gone through what I've gone through, but it's so important and Christ is always there.
Amen. Amen. Preach it. Wish we had more time. All right. Parents, grandparents, I told you, you're going to have to get this episode to some young people that need to hear what Evelyn is sharing right now. So, you somehow got connected with Pro-Life Advocacy Network. Tell us about that.
Yeah, actually, me and my friend Andy, he's the president, we started Pro-Life Advocacy Network in around 2022. It was more of an idea, a dream, kind of just a group at that point. But we really decided to take it seriously this year, and we finally became an official nonprofit. So that was just actually a couple months ago. So we're brand new. Awesome. But our mission is to educate pro-life advocates specifically. We found that there was a need in the pro-life community for advocates that are able to answer the tough questions from pro-choicers. Because a lot of what we see pushed in media is the dumber pro-choice arguments, you know, the clump of cells, the parasite arguments. And those are very popular and it's important to know how to tackle them. But we wanted them to be armed with more philosophical knowledge, with more biblical knowledge on how to defend against pro-choice Christians as well. And just, you know, stats and facts about abortion, about fetal development. We wanted to educate people more than ever because the internet, social media, is today's town square. It's where everybody is. It's where everybody tells their opinions and their feelings to each other. So we're going into the online space and we are educating people to defend the rights of the unborn more. And then, you know, once we get more funding, hopefully, once we can make this into a bigger nonprofit organization, we would also love to give tangible help to mothers in need as well.
Wow. Fantastic. Yeah. I commend you for getting involved, for getting this going. And friends, pray. This is another organization that needs to be out there and grow, hopefully, and expand the reach. So you've got a Facebook, and I see you're on X, Twitter, Instagram as well. So, and that'll take time to build, but keep pushing. I want to mention there's the words on the website, abolish abortion. There's a difference between being pro-life and then wanting absolutely no abortion at any stage and not compromising and playing political ping pong with legislation. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that aspect of your network.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between, you know, a lot of different stances in the pro-life community. Pro-life is an umbrella that basically means you're against most abortion. So some people make rape and incest exceptions. Some people make medical exceptions. We do define abortion a very specific way in our in Pro-Life Advocacy Network. We define it as the deliberate early termination of a pregnancy. And we do that specifically because we don't think that you should be able to terminate your pregnancy for non-medical reasons in any case. So that includes, you know, some pro-choicers will argue that after viability, well, she can just deliver the baby and, you know, you don't have to kill it, whatever, she can just take it out of her body. But that actually carries a huge risk of severe developmental disabilities and physical disabilities for the children. So we want to see all abortion that is not medically necessary abolished from the face of the planet. And we try to use language that makes it easy for people to understand as well. So we have a specific definition on our website. So we don't make rape exceptions or incest exceptions. And what our medical exception encompasses is simply the removal of the child alive. We don't agree with killing the child to remove it, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And I like it's courageous, but I like the fact that you put the word deliberate in there, the deliberate ending of a life, very important. And these are hard conversations.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be for Christians, but because the culture and what has been normalized or accepted, unfortunately, in our culture or in our government, that has influenced the church more than the church and biblical principles on life, God's creation and then life and then male, female, everything else influencing culture, politics, Hollywood, everything else. So we're in a backward system right now that is not Christian in our culture. And it's interesting. Our government really wasn't set up for it, but here we are. So you're on all the social media. Is there something that you'd like to share that, well, I'm thinking about my next question. Go ahead.
We are just trying to grow our platforms. I don't know if I can say this, but we're looking for volunteers as well to help.
Sure, sure.
People who are just, you know, passionate about pro-life advocacy, who want to make videos, help us with graphics, help us write posts, help us write newsletters. We're looking, you know, like I said, we're brand new. We just got official nonprofit status a couple months ago. So we're looking for help in any way. You can email me at evelyn@prolifeadvocacy.org and I will get you in touch with everyone else. And we would love to have you volunteer with us and help us in our mission too.
So if they also fill out the contact on the website, will that go to you eventually?
Yes, that will go to the president, but we talk every day. So.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome. So also what I didn't mention, I don't think, I remembered how people can access your posts on Instagram, and then you do a lot of on TikTok, you said as well, but she goes by the name Tulip Virtues. So TulipVirtues, Tulip Virtues. So you can look up Evelyn Reeves there. So we have just a couple minutes left, Evelyn. I would love for you to just share your heart. Remember we talked about parents and grandparents and sharing this with someone that needs to hear or watch this episode. Say there's some young person watching this right now because someone said, you've got to watch this. What would you share? And like they've already given into the leftist propaganda and the liberal talking points, the anti-Christian worldview because of that's all the influence. Hollywood, media, the education system, government, corporations, everything is coming against them if you're a Christian or conservative. And if you're already growing up in a family that doesn't have any worldview, doesn't have any faith or in anything, not a Christian, then you're going to go down that path. So what would you share to a young person watching right now?
So I think I would just, again, like I said, there's no one who is too far gone. If you are frustrated, if you have consumed leftist media, if you have, you know, taken the blue pill or whatever you want to call it, if you have gone that down that road and you are feeling confused and you are feeling hatred, you are an angry person. I mean, I felt so miserable. I was the most suicidal I had ever been. If you are feeling that darkness, the answer is Jesus. And I know that that sounds so cliche and people want to shut off their ears when I say that, but I was you. I was in your shoes, and I know how alone and how much you try and fill it with all of these horrible hedonistic things. They are not going to fulfill you. The only thing that can fulfill you is a true relationship with Jesus Christ. I was you, and he pulled me out of it. And I will be praying for you and for everyone who is in that state, because I know how harmful it is. And if you are a grandparent or a parent, keep praying, keep reaching out to them if you can. Nobody is too far gone. You should have seen me. You guys would have all thought I was too far gone and too crazy. And look what God can do, and yeah, he will do it.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Evelyn. By the way, friends, you can pray for Evelyn, God's protection, and that God will continue to use her voice. A minute left, Evelyn. It's exciting. I wish we had more time with you, but it seems like there's a youth movement, or a God is moving among at least maybe Gen Z, reaching a lot of young people. People are starting to go to church, maybe because of what happened to Charlie Kirk. What are your thoughts on that real quick in just 60 seconds or less?
Yeah, I think it's amazing. I see it among my own friends. I have friends who, you know, were super pro-choice and a couple years ago maybe became pro-life and started talking to me, but they were never really Christian. They were never sold on that idea. And I've had two or three of my own close friends come to me and ask me about Jesus since Charlie Kirk's assassination. I have had my church be overwhelmed with new people. I've seen it online. I've seen people, I mean, we had people from the White House proclaiming Christ's name at Charlie Kirk's memorial. I'm very hopeful. I hope that we can keep the momentum up and keep it going. I'm praying for everybody. And if everyone could pray for me as well, we can do this. We can create a revival in America.
Amen. Here we are, Lord. Send us. And if God, if you're working on a revival, help us be a part of it. Just be about what you're doing. Friends, one more time, prolifeadvocacynetwork.org. Evelyn Reeves, it's a pleasure to meet you and to do a show with you and have you on, tell your story. Thanks for your time.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. God bless you, friends, family in Christ, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.